Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a terrific day today. A lot of stuff going on, as always. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, but I have forgotten to put my headset on, so I'm going to plug it in while I'm talking right now, so you guys tell me if it gets any better.
Did that make any change at all, Austin?
Oh, yeah. Sounds way better.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm doing great. First day of fall up here in the mountains. The temperature's plummeted down to 73 degrees. I mean, from 98 sitting in the same space under the other day, it's a big plummet. But I've got a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about today. I've got a bunch of really cool stories I want to cover with you. So it's going to be one of those interesting shows. I want to start off with an article by Paul Craig Roberts. And I like Paul Craig. I was going to get him on the show here a few weeks ago, but the guy's schedule is crazy. And here's what his article says. Erasing History, Diplomacy, Truth, and Life on Earth. Now, I'm going to read this to you because this is really important for the first couple of paragraphs, and you can read the rest of it. It's on his website. It says, basically, one of the reasons that countries fail is that the collective memory is continually destroyed as older generations pass away and we are replaced by new ones who are disconnected from what came before them. That's one of the reasons, and I'm going to block your stuff for a second, that's one of the reasons that with Austin, I made sure he spent a lot of time with my mom, who was born in 1916, who went through the entire rise and fall of the Third Reich in Germany. So you could talk to her about it and understand what the culture was like from her perspective. In addition to that, we have a lot of people who don't realize that your grandparents are a plethora of knowledge, and you need to be using that information from them and be promoting it to the grandchildren. Now, Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, initially, the disconnect was handled by history and by discussions around family tables. In other words, it was basically passed from family to family at nighttime discussions. You know, Grandpa used to do this, that kind of stuff. For example, when I was a kid, this is Paul Craig Roberts, there were still grandparents whose fathers had fought for the Civil War in the Confederacy. They had no slaves and owned no plantations. They fought because their land was invaded by Lincoln's armies. Today, if Southern families still know the facts, they would protect their children by not telling them. Can you imagine what would happen to a child in a public school that took this position? Frustrated by the inability of the Union Army to defeat the Northern Army of Aggression led by West Point graduate Robert E. Lee, Lincoln resorted to using war criminals, General Sherman and Sheridan, operating under the drunken General Grant. They were the first modern war criminals who conducted war against civilian women and children, burning farms, killing women, killing children, raping women, taking everything. Their homes and their food supply. Lincoln was so out of step with common morality that he had to arrest and detain 300 northern newspaper editors and exile a U.S. congressman in order to conduct his war for empire against the southern states. Today, this history is largely erased. The court historians buried the truth with the fable that Lincoln went to war to free the slaves, which is a complete and total stupid lie. I added that. The ignorant nonsense today is the official history of the Civil War, which most certainly was not a civil war. It was a war of northern aggression is what it was. A civil war is when two sides fight for control of the government. The Confederacy was a new country consisting of those states that succeeded. Most certainly the Confederate soldiers were no more fighting for the control over the government in Washington than they were fighting to protect the investment of plantation owners. Memory is lost when historical facts are cast down the memory hole. So what does this have to do with the lesson for today? More than history can be erased by the passage of time. Culture can be erased. Morality can be erased. Common sense can disappear with the diplomacy that depends on it. Now, this is why I wanted to share all of this stuff with you today. If you want to read the rest of this, you can, but he's got one more paragraph I just looked at. I want to read this too. The younger generation, which experiences threats, shouted all around it at Confederate war memorials and street names. Now, think about that. Because they didn't want us having any more war memorials for the Confederate War. So I'm going to read it again. The younger generation, which experiences threats, shouted all around it at Confederate war memorials and street names. Atlanta has just struck historic Confederate Avenue out of existence and replaced it with United Avenue at white males who, if white males heterosexual, They have been redefined by identity politics as a rapist, as a racist, as a misogynist, a distinguished scientist who state factually that there are innate differences between a male and a female, and so on, might think that it is a natural for high officials in the U.S. government to issue never-ending stream of war threats to Russia, China, Iran, and Venezuela. So read the rest of this if you want to read it. It is an excellent article, and it's one of the reasons that I have pushed my family, my grandparents. I mean, just this past weekend, Austin went to visit his grandfather over in Vero Beach. He was like 85, 86 years old, and brought his grandkids over so they could continue the family unity with that. It's so important that we all realize that this is what we're supposed to do, and if we don't do that, what ends up happening is we get into a situation where we are mind-controlled as if through Tavistock. Now, here's another article I want to read to you guys. This is another really good article, and it's called Terror as Elite Mind-Controlled Tavistock Institutes War on the Mind. Now, here's what he starts off at. Kurt Lewin, 1890-1947, was a Jewish psychologist, and I'm pretty sure he was also a Sabbatean Kabbalist, who pioneered the Tavistock Institute. This is where they took the people that were shell-shocked in World War I, and they basically reprogrammed them because they had a blank slate. This is the Illuminati Center for Brainwashing. He advocated the use of terror to induce a passive state, in the public. They want to make you passive. It is more effective, here's what they believe, to manage society by mind control than by physical coercion. The effects of 9/11 and the war on terror mostly are exercises in mass brainwashing. German psychiatrist Kurt Lewin developed the thinking behind 9/11 in the book Mind Control, World Control, 1997 by Jim Keefe, who writes, Lewin is credited with much of the original Tavistock research information into brainwashing, applying the results of repeated trauma and torture of individuals in mind control of society at large. If terror can be introduced and induced on a widespread basis into a society, Lewin has stated that society reverts to a tabula rasa, a blank state, a situation where control can easily be instituted from an external point. This is exactly what happened with 9/11. 9/11 shocked the population so bad, we got the Patriot Act, National Defense Authorization Act, a war, that's why I had to ride a war in Iraq, a war in Afghanistan, all of this stuff, because we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Come protect us. That's how they were able to get away with that. Put another way, by the creation of controlled chaos, the populace can be brought to the point where it willingly submits to greater control. Lewin maintained that society must be driven into a state equivalent to an early childhood situation. He termed this societal chaos fluidity. Elite planners designed 9/11 for its shock value. In the aftermath, they were deposed a security crackdown costing military buildup of Afghanistan and Iraq on a stunned population. Keith cites Tavistock researcher Dr. Sargent, William Sargent, author of Battle for the Mind, A Physiology of Conversion and Brainwashing, 1957. Various types of beliefs can be implanted after brain function has been sufficiently disturbed by deliberately inducing fear, anger, or incitement. Guys, they're controlling you through the doggone media. That's what he's saying right here. The blueprint was laid out long before September the 11th. The official story of the tragedy doesn't bear any scrutiny. Future shock. Most political and cultural events were contrived by the elite for their physiological effect. Now listen to what he says here. This is excellent. John F. Kennedy could have been disposed of in a more humane way. He had many health problems. He could have been given a drug and put to sleep and just died in his sleep. Instead, for its shock value, they shot him down, in Mort Sahl's words, like a dog in the street for the shock value effect. The Kennedy assassination was a British intelligence, i.e. Tavistock hit, and its purpose was to shock the American consciousness into a near comatose state for reprogramming the standard Tavistock apparande. The same can be said for the shooting of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. All of this stuff was to basically force people to tune on, tune in, drop out, says CIA-funded Pied Piper Timothy O'Leary, who pushed LSD to the entire population. Many young people became deadheads after Jerry Garcia's Grateful Dead Keith writes that an FBI memo from 1968 mentions the employment of the Grateful Dead. Okay, the FBI hired the Grateful Dead as an avenue to channel youth dissent and rebellion into more benign and non-threatening directions. They performed a vital service in distracting many young persons into drugs and mysticism rather than into politics. Keith goes on to document CIA connections to the creation of mind control cults used to create controlled chaos. These include the Symbionese Liberation Army, Jim Jones, and by the way, Jim Jones down there in Ghana in South America, they were using drugs to control the people's minds, and they were testing the drugs. It was a giant beta test. They got busted. It was a CIA operation with Jim Jones. Also, Charles Manson, he says Scientology, the unification of the church, the Son of Sam, Heaven's Gate, and he said the John Lennon assassination also ties in. Then he brings in Princess Diana. By the way, Princess Diana was killed in that tunnel, which had been a place of druidic worship for centuries before it had been built up. Right in the area of the high priestess where they used to sacrifice human beings, Princess Diana was sacrificed, according to David Icke. Now, I know David Icke's not a Christian. I don't want to get any letters on this. But about 90% of what he talks about is correct. If you ever watch anything David Icke says or read anything he says, always make sure you remember he is not a Christian. Ignore the anti-Christian rhetoric. That's very important. Okay? He also talked about Columbine, the blowing of the levees in New Orleans with Katrina, the burning of black churches, the bird flu scare, Sandy Hook, Nice, Paris, London, Toronto. The instance of false flag terror is all about reprogramming the mind. This is what's going on right now. This is who runs the country. This is basically a grip on mankind of a satanic force, and it's being sunken into a coma. Our leaders work for an occult cabal of super-rich perverts and criminals who secretly plot the end of Western civilization and world tyranny. They see us as animals to be trained or culled. Now, this is the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan way, which ties right back together with the Illuminati. Listen to my show 3 or 4 weeks ago on a Friday if you want full historical documentation using scriptures going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. It was on a Friday. I forgot the date. Listen to that show, which ties this all back together with what they're doing. And I've told you guys, I've mentioned many times about the Tavistock Institute. I've done extensive shows on that particular topic on Hagman and how Tavistock was started at World War I with the guys who were suffering from trench warfare shell shock. And this has all been set up through the British and through the Rothschild Foundations, all of it. All of it, guys. And it's important that you understand these are the puppet masters that are controlling the strings for their guy, Lucifer. That's what this whole thing boils down to. And it's so funny, Austin. I had several people that I talked to today, really good folks. And one of the ones I was talking to, she's got a brother who's got some health issues, and she was talking to me. And I said, she goes, well, can you help him? And I said, well, I don't do third party consults. And I said, but you know, he could listen to the show. And she goes, oh, no, he's a liberal Democrat. You know, he and his wife love Hillary. And I said, well, no, you do not want him to listen to the show. I said, if I had any credibility with him ever in the history of the world, this would not be the show to listen to, because he's not going to believe anything I say, because I'm not a hardcore liberal Democrat. Guys, you know, here's the thing. You know, we have to be like-minded one another. That's why I love you guys. And I love talking to you individually, by the way. It's always a blast for me when I do that. Because what it allows me to do, it gives me and I talked to another man and his wife today. They were absolutely wonderful. They live up in Illinois. They told me they found a sign on the side of the road, Austin, that said, Brower's Horses. And I told them that my grandfather used to have one of the largest draft horses breeding facilities in the entire country. That was your dad, Lewis, that you were named after, Austin, and your grandfather, Lewis, great-grandfather, Lewis, my grandfather. And so it's so nice to talk to people all around the country that are like-minded. And that's why, you know, we've got a lot of people listening to the show now. We got millions of listeners. Guys, I love you. Thank you. But when I get a chance to talk to you guys and you tell me you listen to the show every day and you pray for us every day like I did for you guys today, it means so much to me to have that personal touch. So thank you. So those guys, for you guys that are on my personal email list, we're trying to work something into it now that we can set up a personal list where I'm only going to send you one link a day for a bunch of emails that you can look at and, you know, peruse through. We're trying to work that out with the staff of the office. And so guys, thank you for your love and your understanding. And Thanks for listening. And you guys, I love it when you tell me you binge listen on a show, because I do that all the time too. I'll start binge listening on something and I'll say, oh gosh, I gotta hear the next, I gotta hear the next. It's kind of like when, back when, Jack Bauer was on with 24 Austin. You always wait until the following season and you'd binge watch the whole cheese season over a 2-day period. I mean, it's wonderful that you guys enjoy the show so much. And guys, thanks. I appreciate you. Okay, Austin, that's my extremely long introduction. What's your story and what do you think about what I covered?
Well, yeah, to add into that too, that's pretty much where we're turning the United States into, and we're actually allowing it to be turned into. It's turning into almost a communist USSR, you know, Soviet Union, so to speak, because we see this control and manipulation of the media and now the educational system being so polluted. As you just talked about, what they've done now, and it's been a brilliant strategy from their point, is they have demonized anybody that doesn't follow the mainstream narrative. And what she said was so clear and concise that most parents now won't really teach their children things, or at least won't teach them to be vocal, or that's the actual truth of the history, so to speak, like you were talking about with the old Civil War, you know, veterans, is the fact that if this gets brought up in the classroom nowadays, the child's going to be ostracized publicly for bringing up anything that goes against the narrative that has basically been rammed down our throats for the last 158, almost 160 years now, because they're going to sit there and say, well, that's not the truth. Who told you that? Ha, ha, ha. You're an idiot. Your parents are idiots. I can't believe they told you that. And that's what happens.
That's exactly right.
And then they get old. Right, right. And so that's just in the younger years. Now, it progresses into the high school years, and you bring this up, and all of a sudden, you know, you're 15, 16 years old, little Timmy raises his hand, and he goes, teacher, I don't think that's accurate. You know, I talked to my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and I've read a lot of literature, and the Civil War was not started over slavery. This is an accurate statement. I've got actually some of the old notes from, you know, my great-great-grandparents that they've written that they were involved in it. The teacher more than likely is going to ostracize them publicly again, make them feel incredibly ignorant, and probably send them to the principal's office and say that they're intentionally trying to provoke racial hatred or trying to put some type of white supremacist rhetoric in the school system, which this is what they do now, by the way, guys. I've heard this happening before. So what they do is it comes the next time you come to class and you're like, well, golly, I got suspended for 2 days. I had, you know, after school detail. Now everybody thinks I'm an idiot. I'm not going to bring that up again. That's just dumb. Obviously, that's not what's going on. This is what they have done, guys. And what's crazy is a couple weeks ago, October 2nd, there was a stunning announcement that was quoted actually by the Washington Examiner by the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And this is what they're doing now, guys, to completely and totally just delegitimize anybody in the media that doesn't follow the narrative. This is what the Secretary of Homeland Security stated. Kirstjen Nielsen warned people last Tuesday a week ago. She said that the public should steer clear of Russian-owned entities that pose as legitimate news outlets. And I quote, what she said, I encourage everybody, if you are reading someone and it takes you to Russia Today or to Sputnik, be aware. I mean, these are state-sponsored news outlets. They are not independent, and you do not want to be drawn in by them. She said this in a cybersecurity summit in Washington, D.C. a week ago. Now, ironically about this, these Russian news sources are state-sponsored and not independent. So what's ironic, what's ABC, and what's CBS, and what's CNN, and what's New York Times? How in the world are those possibly independent and not completely and totally controlled? How about the presidential debates, such as that we saw with Cooper or Wolf Blitzer, the ones with the questions and their answers that were already figured out a month in advance and handed off to Hillary, and they also had phony people and actors pretending to ask questions spontaneously at different of the questionnaires and debates they had? Oh, how are those completely independent? So what's ironic here is we've reached a point where we haven't even realized this has happened, but there is no true freedom anymore, and there's definitely no true freedom of the press or free speech anymore. It's essentially because what happens is if there is a true freedom of the press and there's a true freedom of speech, you have the ability to have opposing viewpoints on a regular basis, and people completely understand and people completely respect that. They go, hey, you know what? I don't see eye to eye with you on that. I understand you're on this side. I'm on that side. That's okay. We don't even have to like each other. We don't really have to agree each other, but that's your viewpoint and that's mine. They've completely taken that notion now and they've smashed it to the high heavens, and they said, listen, if you don't follow what we say, if you don't agree what we say about the Civil War, if you don't follow what we say about each president, if you don't do exactly what we tell you to do, you're basically a racist, neo-Nazi skinhead. That's pretty much what it is, in a nutshell. And it's ironic to me because, you know, just the last president, anybody that spoke out against President Obama, and I witnessed this personally in my own life, the mainstream media turned him literally into a god with a little g, made him like he was this big, great, all hail gay Obama. He's the man. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Full-blown communist gay guy from Africa, and this is what they made him on top of, made him a podium for him to step on top of. Anybody that said anything negative about Obama, you're immediately a racist. I mean, every time. If you disagreed with something he said, you're racist. Why you gotta be a racist about that? Why you gotta be a racist about a president? Dude, just because I don't agree with something the president said doesn't make me a racist. You obviously clearly don't even know the definition of the term racist or even where its original origins from way back before Webster Dictionary. So if we're gonna go about this route, then we'll play it that way. Okay, fine. The president's the president. We say anything bad about him, you're basically a racist. Well, what happens when the tables turn? And now we have Donald Trump. Now, anything Trump says is automatically deemed racist. Any supporter of the president is now a racist. Anybody that actually appreciates some of the policies he's changed or wants to go into his nationalist ideology of making America great again is immediately a racist. And now everybody on the left demonizes him, calls him every single name. I mean, CNN has Stormy Daniels back on now to talk about her book. I mean, this is a joke. This is a complete and total joke. And if people don't realize what's going on, you're totally missing everything. Because remember, the DHS secretary is blatantly saying here now, Russia Today or Sputnik News, if they come up on the news, they're immediately fake news. Don't listen to what they say. You can only listen to CNN. Now, if you remember back in April this year, the Department of Homeland Security put out a contract seeking contractors for the creation of a database that would monitor news outlets around the world and collect information on journalists, bloggers, media influencers. I talked about this in detail. The plan comes on amidst of concerns of the so-called fake news after the U.S. elections, a term that Hillary Clinton essentially coined with her cronies, the same word that falls along the lines of conspiracy theory. So the DHS media monitoring plan that I talked about in detail will give these contractors 24 access to password-protected media database, including journalists, editors, correspondents, social media influencers, bloggers, etc. The purpose is identifying any and all media coverage related to the Department of Homeland Security or particular event. This is so the Homeland Security can carry out activities that would normally come under fire under their normal scope of things. So they hire a subcontractor out. This is very typical. One nation subs out tasks to another by authorizing it to do such things. Then the foreign partner feeds the information back to the nation, effectively bypassing the constitutions protecting the citizens of the nation. So now, you know, if you look at really what's going on, I mean, we're seeing more sanctions on Iran again. We're talking about, I saw some earlier today, I got it vetted though, it said that China now, looks like they're going to stop buying any of our crude oil now completely. We see now that the leftists are totally telling people that it's okay to make death threats against members of Congress and their families and any Trump supporter, I might add. You're seeing a level of racial discord being pushed to its limits and laws that are being flagrantly disobeyed and circumvented. On a daily basis, the United States is reshaping itself, shifting the paradigm into the communist mold to make the population accept it. This is the final step to a full-blown totalitarian state. Surveillance on every citizen and control of every citizen is key. And this is exactly what we're seeing now. This leads me right into my next article that I saw earlier today now. Just came out today that Wikipedia has now banned Breitbart as any source of fact on Wikipedia pages. Wikipedia editors voted now to ban Breitbart as a source of fact in any of its articles. They agreed that the outlet should not be used ever as a reference for facts due to its unreliability. Wikipedia editors also decided that InfoWars is a conspiracy theorist fake news website and that the use of InfoWars as a reference is prohibited. Wikipedia decided that because fact checkers have found much of Breitbart's coverage to be misleading or false, that they will no longer allow it to be used. This is what they say. This is how biased they are. Long-standing reputation for publishing utter falsehoods, fabrications, and blatant distortions about things and having no meaningful fact-checking structure in a place whatsoever is completely inappropriate for Wikipedia and the reason why we have banned them from being used as a source. Let's not talk about the New York Times and all the crap they come out with. Let's not talk about CNN. Let's not talk about any of these other things that are going on. Now we're banning anybody that has an opposing viewpoint to the mainstream media. This is literally starting to take the shape of old communist Russia in the fact that literally they control the entire media. Anything you say that is not go along with the mainstream media, you're essentially ostracized and you're basically told you're a liar, you're a racist, you're whatever name they can come up with in the book now. This is where it's headed. That's why it's so important that Dad was just talking about. You wake your children up, you wake your family up, and you make sure you do at least the best you can, because that's all we can do is the best we can. But the best we can to make sure they understand the truth and the history behind our heritage, because, guys, if we go down this route another 10 or 20 years and we allow this to continue happening, there will be no more true American history anymore. Everything will be scrubbed to literally teach the population the exact communist agenda that they want them to learn, and there will be nobody to oppose it because people will be too scared to speak the truth, Dad.
I couldn't have said it any better. In fact, it's important that you teach your kids how to be a little American. I remember I'd asked my dad one time, and you know, he was talking to me. He asked me, he says, you know, he always called me Teddy. He goes, Teddy, you know what happened to Rome? And I said, yeah, it fell. And he goes, you know why it fell? And I said, well, yeah, the conquerors came. And he goes, no, that's part of it. He goes, the Roman army could have defeated anybody in this heyday, anybody. He says, the problem with what happened with Rome is Rome stopped raising little Romans. And that's what's happened in America. The America has stopped raising little Americans. You know, we don't, you know, we have these. Let me give you an example, okay? Give me an example. This is personal experience. You guys always like my personal experiences. A few months ago, I tried to help a kid in one of the local colleges to work out, and he ended up basically being a complete flake. I worked out with him for about a week, and finally he says, I don't want to work out. And I trained the guy for a whole week, trained him how to work out, how to breathe, everything. And by the way, if you've ever had a personal trainer, it's extremely time intensive for the trainer to train you right if you've never worked out before. This guy was skinny. He's about 5'9" tall. He's 19 years old, weighs about 110, maybe 105. I mean, that little. And I'm just complete and total little beta male. But he told me he wanted to start working out. He was tired of being a scrawny little kid. I said, all right. So I spent an entire week of my time to help him. And then after about a week, he goes, I don't want to work out. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me that a week ago? Well, I just don't want to do it. And I was like, well, that's pretty flaky to me, bud. I said, why? I mean, I've just wasted a bunch of my time. And he goes, well, you know, oh, well, too bad. I said, all right, whatever. I said, don't ever ask me to work out with you again. I won't. And so I didn't. So that was probably about 6 months ago. Well, then basically he was in a talk to my daughter when she was coming back from Montana to start college because he was going to college there. For some reason, the college and the university that he was going to, his parents and grandparents were paying for it. They pulled the plug on him and quit paying for that. Now, I don't know what his GPA was. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on with all that, but he wasn't allowed to go there any longer. They weren't paying for it. Well, then he was going to talk to my daughter, pick her up at the airport, flaked out on that, didn't show up, didn't do that, told me he couldn't do it, just made a bunch of commitments he couldn't keep. Finally, about 2 weeks ago, about three weeks ago now, he said, well, before you guys go up to North Carolina, I want to go to dinner with you guys or come by for dinner and just hang out with y'all's family a little bit. I said, that's fine. So he came up, pushed us to go to dinner with him. We finally told him we'd go to dinner. He calls an hour before we're supposed to go and basically cancels everything. And that's when I finally said, look, that's it. I'm done. Don't bother to call me again. Lose my number. I'm finished. I don't want to be involved in this. Because the boy was never taught to do what he said he was going to do. He was allowed to get away with not doing anything he made commitments to do, to always find an excuse as to why he didn't get it done. Years ago, I remember we were down on my dock at the lake, and something broke off the side of a boat and fell into the water. And Harrison was like 8 years old, and I told him, and he said, "Hey, Dad, don't worry about it. The water's real clear. I'll jump down there and get it." Well, he started going down to get the water because he's an excellent swimmer, and it was probably up to his shoulders. And he said, "Water's too cold. I'm not going to do it." And I had a friend of mine with me there who basically had broken this thing off the boat, and Harrison already made a commitment to do this. Now, listen to me. The dock's built like a horseshoe. We're on the far end of the horseshoe where you couldn't get away from me. I had him trapped on like a catwalk. I had Harrison trapped on the catwalk where the ladder was. And so there was no way he could get off the dock without stepping by me. And I looked at Harrison, and I said, this is my 19-year-old. I said, "Harrison, you made a commitment to Dan that you were going to get this piece of the boat that fell off into the water. It only weighs like 5 pounds. And I said, you need to go down there and grab it real quick." He goes, "Well, I'm not going to do it, Dad. It's too cold." And I said, "Well, you should have thought about that before you made the commitment. So now you're going to do it." He goes, "Well, what are you going to you're going to throw me in, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you're going to get in the water one of two ways. You're going to go down the ladder and get this piece, or I'm going to throw you in. You're going to get it." And he goes, "Well, Dad, that's not fair." And then Dan's sitting there behind me or beside me. He's like 10 years older than me. Dan goes, "Oh, no, no, don't worry about it, Ted. He doesn't have to do that." And I said, "Yeah, he does. He made a commitment. He's going to do it." And I said, "Now, had he not made the commitment, I wouldn't care." And he goes, "Well," then Dan looks at Harrison and says, "Don't worry, Harrison, your dad's not going to throw you in." And I said, "Oh, contraire, I'm going to throw him in. He's going to go in. He's going to go in feet first, head first. It doesn't make any difference to me, but he's going to get the part that fell off the boat because he committed to it." Now you go, "Well," you guys say, "Well, gosh, that's awful hardcore that you did that to him." No, 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 it's not. Nobody was going to get hurt with him getting in the water. The water was clear. There was, he could see the part. It wasn't that cold. He just changed his mind after he made a commitment. That's the age when you have to teach these kids not to do that. When they're young, when your grandchildren are young, you got to follow through with what they tell you they're going to do. Both Austin and Harrison, when they started, they wanted to play T-ball. They both started T-ball. I think Austin played one or two seasons. Harrison played one season. After the season was over with, they both said, "We don't want to play it again." I said, "That's fine. But once you make a commitment to the team, you finish it." Both Harrison and Austin were in karate. Both of them got to their brown belts. Both of them started crawfishing. "Well, we don't really want to finish or not." I said, "Nope. You guys made a commitment to me. If I was going to pay for karate, you're both going to go to black belts," which they both did. They both got first degree black belts. So to me, you've got to teach a child to do what they say they're going to do. That's one of the key things to be successful in your life. It's just do what you say. That's why so many people are unsuccessful, guys, is that they don't teach their children, they don't teach their grandchildren to simply do what you say you're going to do. You know, I told you guys years ago, you guys listen to the show, you guys support the show, I'm going to be on the show. I'm here all the time. I'm there on Columbus Day. Half the time on holidays, we're on the show. Nobody else does shows pretty much but us on the holidays. Why? Because we're here anyhow. You guys are here, and we want to do what we can. I mean, I talked to Bruce today, and I told him how much I appreciated him listening. And I talked to Kim, and I talked about how much I appreciated. I talked to Bruce's wife today, and I said, I appreciate you guys listening and supporting us. And here's the reason why. If we get support from you guys, if you guys buy your vitamins from us and that kind of stuff every single month, it makes us want to do this because we know you care about what we're doing. And it means so much to me when you guys do that. So thank you again. But guys, I just wanted to share that with you about you got to teach the kids the right way to go. Now, let me give you a perfect example of where the kids have not been taught the right way. This is from the Daily Mail. Anarchy. Portland residents fury at their mayor for allowing Antifa activists, these little brat kids, to take over streets, direct traffic, abuse motorists, and attack driver during a march over police shooting of a black man. This is nuts, guys. Activists gathered in Portland Saturday to protest shooting of Patrick Kimmons. 100 people, including Kimmons' family, met in a parking lot where he was killed. After a march, they began directing traffic and were filmed abusing drivers. At one point, a man tried to drive through the group and had his car attacked. Some Portland residents have expressed their anger at almost 100 of these guys got into ugly clashes with motorists. Guys, this is what happens when you don't trade your children right. They get out and they get involved with groups like this for their being paid by George Soros. All of this stuff is just crazy. Here's the thing. The footage shows a small number of black-clad demonstrators standing in the road and waving traffic around, a vigil they set up for Kimmons. When one man questions why he's being forced to go around, a woman responds, "Because I told you to." Of course, they heard a yell, "White supremacist." "Oh, really?" the driver responds before another man comes running over shouting, "Get out of here, you white blanker." There you go. Amid a string of expletives, the demonstrator demands that him, a whitey, before adding First Amendment. Now get the F down the road. Police officers were monitoring the protest, but they didn't intervene because they wanted to protect the right of the protesters. It didn't matter how the rights of all the other people were being affected. Guys, this is what happens when you don't raise kids right. You get a bunch of weirdos like this that do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and they don't care about how they affect anybody or anything because they don't care. It's so important that everybody understands that we have to train our children up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. It is so critical that we understand that. By the way, vitamin B12 deficiency has now been shown to increase the risk for Alzheimer's disease. I take 3 or 4 of our chewable B12s every single day. You cannot get too much of that. You simply cannot overdose on a B vitamin because they're water soluble. And now another article, the bitter truth, artificial sweeteners can actually trigger glucose intolerance and destroy your health, according to many different research articles. In other words, the body still thinks it's getting sugar. It's not getting sugar. It messes up glucose intolerance. So stay away from artificial sweeteners. And another one, low enzymes levels, low levels of coenzyme Q10 have been linked to increased risks of melanoma metastasis. So guys, make sure you take coenzyme Q10, 1 or 2 capsules every single day. It's critical to help avoid skin cancer, and also it really keeps the heart strong. Last year, Austin, we were up here, and we had a friend of ours that we knew lives down the street from us, that they basically told us, you know, that they were he was having some health issues, and sure enough, he had to have cardiac. We found out today he had to have cardiac bypass surgery 3 weeks ago. His cardiac arteries were all blocked. He's been a smoker for the past 50 years, and I sat and talked to him for about 5 minutes on the side of the road. He was trying to walk, bless his heart. He was pale as a ghost, like he's about to die right in the street. He only had the surgery 3 weeks ago, and I told him, I said, "Dude, I said, are you finally ready to change your diet?" "No. I quit smoking 3 weeks ago. I ain't doing nothing about my diet. Smoking enough should be taking care of this." And I looked at him. I said, "Dude, you're dreaming." I said, "That cardiovascular surgery that you had will only last 2 to 4 years without massive dietary change and lifestyle change. You'll be right back on that table getting cut open again." Guys, it's so important that you don't end up on the table getting cut open again. It's so important that you don't end up with prostate cancer. Guys, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to be kind of direct with you on this. Don't get vasectomies. Very important. I personally believe, and some of the research seems to indicate, that it increases the risk of prostate cancer. Secondly, take your zinc and take your E consistently. Try to have relations with your wife 2 to 3 times a week. If you take the zinc, the E, and the HGH stimulate, that's going to be very easy to do. Women, please be available for your husbands for that to happen. When you enlarge the prostate because of a lack of personal relationships with you, what ends up happening, you massively increase the risks of prostate cancer. Guys, please, you got to use the equipment. You got to use the plumbing the way God intended. You got to stay healthy so you can use the plumbing so your prostate doesn't get inflamed. I talked to another lady today, basically her brother, is basically stage 4 prostate cancer. It metastasized through his body. Guys, it's so important that you keep everything working for as long as you possibly can to reduce the risk of this. And it also makes you have to get up and use the bathroom in the middle of the night because you have the benign prostate hypertrophy. I don't do that. I go to bed 11 o'clock. I get up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I never have to get up one time. I'll be 63 next month. I never have to get up one time to use the bathroom. I take the prostate support, the Z, the ink, the zinc, and the E, and the HGH stimulate every day. Guys, I'm telling you what I do. I'm telling you how easy it is to fix it. I can't make it any more simple. It's 2 scoops of HGH stimulate a day, 4 vitamin E a day, and 4 zinc a day, and you will be amazed what happens to your libido and how your plumbing starts working again. And I'm trying to be so careful how I say these things. I know we got kids listening, but guys, this is one thing that I wanted to cover with you guys today because it's so important, because I just dealt with another person who's basically, you know, who's got a brother who's in their 60s with prostate cancer. Just thought I'd let you guys know that today. Austin, any comments on any of this?
Well, it's definitely good info. There's no question about it. I mean, the generational sloppiness, I guess you could call it, is starting to become very prevalent because exactly what you just said, these kids aren't being trained. They're not being taught. And, you know, it's funny when you're saying that, you know, is it pushing Harrison when he did that? I remember when that incident happened. I think I was down there too. And I thought it was funny. I got a kick out of it because I was like, Harris is pitching a fit. I was like, you think that's being harsh now? I said, he's like in his 40s or 50s, man. You should have seen him when he was in his 30s. You know, I got a kick out of it because, I mean, that's how I got raised. And, but the funny part about it is it's not really funny, but the ironic part is life's harsh. Life's rough. And if you don't actually learn some real, true life lessons when you're younger, you grow up believing this little fairy tale tail communist democratic leftist agenda line that essentially you can do whatever you want, you can go run around wherever you want, you can not work for as long as you want, it doesn't matter. The all-caring government, the all-protecting eye is basically going to pay for you and give you money and give you money to go to school and pay for everything you have, and you can just do anything you want, live however you want to live, no consequences whatsoever. And that's a, guys, that is a lie right out of the pit of hell from Satan himself. If you are not able to do things on your own, now barring, obviously this is barring that if you have some type of serious ailment or injury, I completely got that. But you're a regular, well-bodied person, and you're completely capable of working and thinking for yourself and going out and working and producing and supporting. There's absolutely no excuse that you need to be sitting around demanding to get free entitlement from the government, or that you have anything else to do on Wednesday besides run around in the middle of the road and block traffic to protest something that is not even a crucial element in the United States. It's ironic because I hear so much about all this stuff, you know, on a regular basis. Well, this cop shot this black guy, and this happened here. Guys, people get shot on a regular basis. Are some cops completely out of control? Yes, they are. They need to be reprimanded. They need to be fired. They need to be terminated. They need to be in no more law enforcement scenario, period. Are there a lot of those in law enforcement agencies? No, not that I have seen. I've met a lot of them. I'm friends with a lot of them. There are some bad apples, and a lot of times they get weeded out. The issue that nobody wants to address, and this is the ironic part to me when I see these protests all the time, is that they want to run around, jump up and down, hit people that want to just simply drive through unmolested on their way. They have nothing to do with any of this, and they're immediately a racist because of their skin color, which is ironic to me because they're personifying the exact definition of racism by sitting there and stereotyping them simply because they have a different skin color, calling them a racist because they're trying to drive through. That right there already nullifies their entire argument, but I digress. The whole aspect of what we've seen here that needs to be addressed is black-on-black violent crime, especially in cities like Chicago. That's a serious, serious, serious problem in this country right now, and nobody wants to talk about it. The mainstream media won't bring it up. No news outlets that are big will talk about it whatsoever, except the alternative media and some local news. Nobody wants to talk about what this drug culture, what this rap culture, what this incredibly violent culture has produced in making sure that these guys don't have dads, that they get into gangs at a very young age because they have nothing else to do with their life, that they're usually third, fourth, fifth generation welfare babies, and I'm by no means using this as a derogatory term towards anybody, but they're basically encompassed into this lifestyle, and instead of doing things to try to teach them, to try to show them other options, to try to help produce a better outcome, we simply ignore it and pretend that it's not getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And then when one cop in one city shoots a black guy because he pulls his arm out of his hoodie in a rapid movement, when the guy basically fits the description of somebody that just robbed a store down the road and the kid gets shot, it's a horrible situation. And the cop needs to be handled appropriately. But running around, calling everybody a racist, blocking traffic, hitting cars, getting in fights, burning down cities over this, doesn't produce anything except do exactly what the globalists want them to do, and that is to start chaos and break down law and order. Because once you can break down law and order enough, once there is no more civility, once there is so much just aggression and anger towards multiple different groups, you start reaching a point where there's not going to be any type of unity in the United States for us to hold this country together anymore. That's why I talked about last week very, very much in detail on Tuesday's show if you want to listen to it, is that we've reached a point now where we have so many factions versus one another all over the place that it's like everybody's pitted against somebody at some point in time, instead of realizing that in most cases, not all of them, but in most cases, we need to do the best we can to help one another to reach at least a unified agreement and to fight exactly what's going on. And that is getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, getting our monetary policy back under control, getting the globalists out of the control of the school systems, getting back a true Christian-based school system in the United States. There's so many things we need to do, even with our food systems. Get rid of Monsanto. I was so happy the other day. I don't watch TV very often. I flipped something on because there was a show I wanted to watch. Oh, I think it was on Shark Tank. There was somebody I heard about that was on there, and I wanted to see basically somebody that I had known in the past. So I flipped it on, watched an interesting offer they had on it, just some stuff. I'm not going to go into all that. But a commercial came up in the middle of this, and kid you not, and it said, do you have cancer from handling Roundup or glyphosate weed killer? Please call this law firm's 1-800 phone number to get set up in a class action lawsuit. That is huge, guys. The fact that that was on mainstream television as an advertisement to call a law firm to get involved in a class action lawsuit against glyphosate and Monsanto and Bayer and whoever's going to be wrapped up in this thing now is incredibly awesome, because this stuff needs to get off the market. Now, the issue that we're probably going to run into is going to be a continued fight, is that they're just going to replace glyphosate with something as bad, if not worse. That's more than likely what's going to happen next. They're going to change the classification or change the chemical structure slightly and make something different that they're going to use. But the fact that this is getting on television now, that this is causing cancer, is outstanding to me and really needs to be used to push the non-GMO agenda and the organic agenda as much as possible in supporting organic growers, because this is something we all need to be very, very, very active in. Our food supply is important, guys. You can't live very long without food. I mean, you can go for a little bit, but eventually, at some point in time, you die once you don't have food. And so we need to get back to our roots of having a true organic growth in the United States, where we have real, true, clean, non-genetic Frankenstein food grown and shoved on our plates. And the only way to do that right now is to vote with your dollars. Don't buy the Monsanto crap. Don't buy stuff with corn syrup. Don't buy stuff with sucralose or Blender, aspartame, or any of these other nasty stuff. Support the non-GMO agenda and support the organic agenda, because this is really, really crucial that we do this right now, Dad, and really try to promote and get our food supply back under control by the American population and away from the biotech industrial complex.
Okay, now, man, that was great. Here's what we have to do, and Austin said this. I'm going to repeat it. I mean, I remember my buddy Zig Ziglar used to say, God, I love Zig. He was so great. Did 100 seminars with him. I was featured on the platform with him back in the 90s with the success seminars. Many of you have been with me since then. So you know I'm not making this up. I don't make up stuff. And Ziglar used to be, he was such a good communicator. He'd say, I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to tell you what I told you. and sometimes you got to do that, because sometimes people need to hear stuff, because this show goes by so fast, and I talk so fast, and I think Austin's trying to talk faster than me now. So, I mean, we got both of us can put out all this information so fast. Some folks told me today, oh, yeah, I got to listen to your show a couple of times because it goes by so fast and it's all so quick. Guys, it's so important that we support local organic farmers. Austin said a mouthful when he said that, because we have there's several organic farmers up here in North Carolina where we live, and we go to the flea market every weekend and we buy all of our vegetables from them, and it's quite frankly it's about a quarter of the price of Whole Foods, and they're organic. One of them's a certified organic, the other one's just, you know, certified. It's organic, but it's not certified. And so it's one of those things that we have to do, because if we support locally grown produce that's organic, they're going to make more and more of it. They're going to grow more and more of it. They'll start putting it and building it and putting it in greenhouses and growing it in the winter for us, because nobody wants to go and grow a bunch of organic stuff and then have to throw it away or try to freeze it or can it. They don't want to do that. They want to sell it fresh. So support your local organic places. If there's a restaurant that says we don't use hydrogenated oils, or we only use organic this, or we only use natural fresh grown this, support them. Just go there, say thank you. And then what I really like, the other day we went out to this place. It's called the Tale of the Dragon. It's a little restaurant, a little it's really nice little inn, actually. Topoka Inn, I think it's called. And it's right pretty close to the Tale of the Dragon up here in North Carolina. And they use well water, mountain spring water for all their drinks. There's no chlorine, there's no fluorine, there's nothing in it, right? So I said, because normally I bring my own water in, which I did, and I said to myself, I said, do you guys use tap water? Has it got fluorine? Oh, no, it's nothing. It's pure, artesian well water. I said, great. He said, bring me some iced tea. And it was like $4 for a glass of iced tea. I don't really drink iced tea, but I had some iced tea because I want to support them, because they're not running a bunch of chemicals in their water supply. Because I'm not going to put the stuff that has the fluorine and the chlorine in my body. You guys know that. I don't want to. I'm 64 years old. I like my IQ being pretty stable. I don't want to drop it down, start on fluoride, and I don't want to start losing brain cells here at this point. Guys, it's so important that we support them whenever they do stuff like that, even when they use RO units. A lot of restaurants now are using reverse osmosis water for the water they serve you. Ask them, can you get an RO unit for the water instead of giving us tap water? Now, a lot of them don't want to do that because they want you to buy the bottled water from them. And I'm okay with that, too. But they really need to be serving water that doesn't have a bunch of poisons in it. And speaking of poisons in the water supply, soaring antidepressant use is turning up in waters into a turning our waters, our oceans, our lakes, our rivers into a drug soup and changing marine life's ability to mate, feed, and move. Portsmouth's Institute of Marine Biology is calling for a range of new measures. This includes upgrading wastewater treatment plants to filter out chemicals. They also suggest educating patients on the safe disposal of medication. Drug firms are being asked to design drugs that break down safely in water. The rising use of antidepressants is turning our waters into a drug soup and harming marine life. Now, I'm going to say something right now that I can't prove, and there's no way to prove it. A lot of people take their drugs, and when they get done with them, and they're not done with the prescription, be it Prozac or Xanax or whatever, they dump them down the toilet and flush them because they don't want the kids being exposed to them or using them. Now, a lot of people don't do that. Now, there's a lot of these drugs that are showing up in the water supply. Personally, they're already putting fluoride in the water. Do I think that they may be putting lithium or Prozac or Zoloft or other generics that they can make so cheaply into municipally treated water and not telling us and perhaps sending it out in the bags of hydrofluorosilicic acid? I don't know. But there sure seems to be an awful lot of these drugs in the doggone water supply all of a sudden that are being piped into the houses of the people taking these drugs, not even realize they're taking them because they're in the water supply. If I had not seen the research from the concentration camps saying that the reason that they put the drugs in the water supply is because the people, the inmates, the prisoners, the workers, the slaves that were in the concentration camps who were being used as slave labor, they tried to force them to become servile and compliant and infertile by giving them pills, and they refused to take it. Then they start experimenting with all these different drugs in the water supply, ending up with putting a bunch of fluoride in the water supply. Remember, fluoride is the active ingredient in Prozac. Fluoride is also fluorine gas is the active ingredient in sarin nerve gas. This is some poisonous crap's what it is. And we have it in our water already. So if they're already willing and ready and able to drug us with the fluorine they're putting into the water supply, what would stop them? Let me ask you a question. What would stop them from adding a bunch of other junk into the water supply and simply not telling the manufacturer? What if they send them a bottle of hydrofluorosilicic acid and it's not hydrofluorosilicic acid, it's Prozac or a whole bag of it, and they dump that whole bag into the water supply? The people at the doggone plant would not know the difference of what they're putting into the water supply. Now, I'm not going to say that's real. I'm just saying that's speculation on my part. All I know is that the mass drugging of the American population is continuing at an exponential rate, and it's not getting any better. If it's not cocaine, it's heroin. If it's not heroin, it's OxyContin. If it's not an opiate, it's some type of Xanax or Prozac or Zoloft. If it's not that, it's going to be something that's going to dumb you down, which is going to be like the statin drugs. Guys, all of this stuff is being put on us in such a huge quantity because they've got to dumb us down and not make us have rational thought processes, not allow us to go into concrete rational thought. Okay, Austin, I'll do the write-up today. I've already taken notes of the show. By the way, guys, I've really enjoyed this show. This has been a good show today. I've enjoyed it. I love you guys. Thanks again for getting your vitamins from us. Thanks at least for getting your multiple vitamins from us. The multiple powder is amazing. I love it. I take it every single day along with my protein shake. You guys rock the planet. I love you. I honor you for listening, and I honor you for your support. And, guys, if you ever need anything, please let us know. God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, it's yours.
Absolutely. And I got an email the other day. Somebody was asking us about different types of protein powders. And one of the reasons why we carry a lot of the pea and rice, the organic pea and rice protein powders, like the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food and the Superfood Complete and so forth, ones like that, is because those are very digestible plant proteins. And a lot of times people can digest those easier because of the enzymes that their body produces. And it's easier a lot of times on people's digestive systems when they're going through a detox or a cleanse or just in general trying to be as gentle as they can on their body while transitioning over to a healthier lifestyle. So I want to kind of add in on that. And also, too, when it comes to soy protein, as you guys already know, is most of the conventional GMO. Like 98% of soy in the United States is GMO. It's one reason why I don't use it. Another reason of it, too, is because it increases phytoestrogens in the body, which mimic estrogen things in the body. So it's not something you want to use. The unfermented version makes it highly undigestible, by the way. A lot of times you see in health food things, they'll say, oh, this has 30 grams of protein per serving. And you look at the protein source, it's soy. Reason why, soy is dirt cheap. The problem is soy has a very, very low digestible value and it assimilates not very efficiently. It's usually poorly produced and it's almost all the time GMO. So that's why I don't use soy. We use the pea and rice protein, which is still a complete protein, still has very high protein absorption rate, tastes good, easy digestible. And of course, we still also have the whey, which is from our New Zealand bovine that has no GMO, no preservatives, no toxins, no hormones, no antibiotics, anything. New Zealand has some of the strictest bovine laws in the United States. So that's why we only get certified New Zealand whey protein. But I want to kind of answer that in general because I've gotten a couple questions on that in the past day or so via email, and just because on the different protein powders that we carry. So one of the biggest ones that I recommend to a lot of people, if you're really just kind of starting out and you want something to really cover your bases, the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan. The reason why we built that is because we had a huge demand for people that wanted a protein powder that was very digestible, it was still vegan, it was pea and rice protein, it tastes good, and it also has our multivitamin complex in it. So it literally can be used as a standalone protein powder in the morning if you want to make a smoothie or a protein shake out of it. And you're still getting your full vitamin mineral complex. It's not as high of a dose to say the multivitamin because we didn't want to make it taste horrible. You start adding massive amounts of the multivitamin to powdered protein. You know, the taste starts changing, obviously. So it still has a good dose, but it's not as high, but it still will cover your bases if you want to use it. And again, it's very cost effective. I think it's only like $35 or $39 a can, and we have a 3-pack special on it as well. So it's a really, really good cost effective protein, but I just kind of wanted to add that in there. Also, to be sure to check out the product of the week on healthmasters.com. We have the joint rebuilding formula on sale right now for 15% off. So be sure to check on that and vote for any other products that you want to win this week. Looks like the Muscle Blast is still winning pretty strongly right now. So be sure to get on there and vote. And included on that is the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan that you can vote for as well on the website. Want to kind of throw all those out there so you guys have an understanding of what they are and what they do. And, of course, we also have numerous other kits on the website on sale right now at healthmasters.com. If you need any help, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, or you can email us in the contact form on the Health Masters page. Just go in the search bar at the top, type in the word contact and search, and the contact form will pop right up. Fill it out and send it to us, and I usually try to get to them as quickly as possible. So we really appreciate all the support. Thank you guys for taking care of us. Thank you for choosing us to be your number one supplement guide. And thank you for everything. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.